If you would, take your Bibles and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Today is Sunday, February the 5th, 2023. This morning we are going to look at the knowledge of the truth. A couple of weeks ago, I started the teaching by looking at that verse in 1 Corinthians 12:1, where it says, "Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning spiritual matters." If you were here, we looked at that a little bit. And there are a number of places in the scriptures where God specifically says he doesn't want us ignorant. And that really shouldn't be too surprising, because God is our Father. And what good, loving father would want his children to be stupid? What good, loving father would want his children to be ignorant, right? And so, as you know, there are many places in the scriptures where God does give us a knowledge concerning spiritual matters so that we don't have to be ignorant. And as a little side note, that section in Corinthians chapters, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, that really delves into spiritual matters, that section, it starts, "I would not have you to be ignorant," and it ends with, "If anybody wants to be ignorant, let them be ignorant." Because, see, God doesn't force anyone to believe his word. I mean, it's his great knowledge of truth is there if people want to take advantage of it. But God's never going to force anyone. So God is, that's pretty blunt. If you want to be ignorant, okay, be ignorant. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there's another place where it talks about not being ignorant. Verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." We're in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." In verse 13 again, "I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep." God doesn't want us to be ignorant concerning the topic of death. And there, you know, really, we don't need to be ignorant, because God has given us so much information in his word about that topic. God's very clear. And, you know, it's interesting to me that I've been doing these little short 5-minute podcasts, and I've done almost 100 of them. And the one that has the most downloads turns out to be the very first one I did, which is entitled, "What Happens When You Die?" And so I just find that interesting. But there's great information in God's word on this topic so that people don't have to be ignorant. And there is great ignorance about this very topic, about death. But God's word is very plain that when a person dies, he's dead, completely unconscious. He doesn't praise God, he doesn't pray, he doesn't do any work, has no emotions, dead. Until one of two things. He remains dead until God sends his son Jesus Christ back to gather those who are born again, and we meet him in the air like we just read here. Or if he's not born again, the resurrections of the just and the unjust. So there's lots of information that God has given us so that we don't have to be ignorant about that topic. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. One more place we'll look at concerning this. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." That comes up a few times in the epistles of Peter. You know, there's one other place where he says, "Look, I know you know these things, but I'm just going to remind you about them again." Always good to review. And since holy men of God spake as they are moved by the Holy Spirit, then God wants to stir up your minds by way of remembrance. "That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? How come he hasn't come back yet? You talk about that all the time. Christ is coming back. Could be today. Well, where is he? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Nothing's changed. You guys have been talking about this for 2,000 years. Where is he? "For this they willingly are" what? "Ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was, that then was, being overflowed with water perished." That's first heaven and earth. "But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant." Don't be ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as of 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. You know, don't get all rattled about it. Because verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but long-suffering toward us, word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come." God doesn't want us ignorant about death. He doesn't want us ignorant about the end times and what's going to happen in the end times. And it's in his word if people want to take the time to read it and understand it. Another place, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We looked at this a few weeks ago. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record. They have a zeal of God. They're very enthusiastic. They're excited about the things of God. But not according to knowledge." Well, they must have some knowledge, right? You can't have a zeal of something you don't know anything about. So obviously, they don't have the right knowledge. And verse 3 says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And see, we don't need to be ignorant about God's righteousness that's available now. It's clearly spelled out in God's word in the scriptures. We don't have to go about to establish our own righteousness or make ourselves right before God. Jesus Christ has already paid the price so that we could be not only children of God, but righteous in God's sight. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. The knowledge of God is in his word. The knowledge of the truth is in God's word. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11 says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices, his methods, his schemes, his plans." And once again, there's abundant information in God's word about our enemy, Satan, the devil. It's got a lot of names, whatever you want to call him. Still our enemy. But there's lots of information. God doesn't want us ignorant about his devices so that lest Satan get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. God's word tells us that he's a liar, he's a murderer, he's a thief, he's a deceiver, deceives the whole world. You know, and God's word, especially in the church epistles, tells us that it's a spiritual fight that we're involved with, right? Remember Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness from high places. Take on the whole armor of God, because it's a spiritual fight, right? Why would God tell us that if it's not? Well, it is. And God is trying to help us to not be taken advantage of by his devices. And you know, many times Satan promotes a counterfeit to what God has, to what God has said, or to what God has made available. And, you know, it might sound good, might look good, but you know the best way to spot a counterfeit is to be very knowledgeable of the genuine, right? So I have a $20 bill here that I'd like to give to someone who would like this $20 bill. You're no takers. Why? Because it's on white paper with a magic marker. It says $20. We wouldn't fall for that, right? Now, there are people who are very have an expertise in counterfeit money that could spot a counterfeit before you and I could. But so no takers on this $20 bill, huh? Okay. It's a counterfeit. Not much like the genuine. But how about this? How about a gold bar? 2.2 ounces of gold. Any takers? Something at the bottom there. Okay, counterfeit. The best way to avoid being fooled or taken advantage of by a counterfeit is to know the genuine. To have a knowledge of the truth, we don't get fooled. We're in 2 Corinthians, look at chapter 4, if you would. Chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, would shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Not about us. It's about God. It's about his word, his son, the knowledge of the truth. It said there in verse 4 that the God of this world blinds people's eyes. How does our enemy blind people's eyes? Well, by promoting things that are contrary to the word of God. Chapter 11, 2 Corinthians. Verse 3, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. God doesn't want us beguiled. He didn't want us deceived like Eve got deceived. Like, remember? That's why he gave us his word. So once we have the knowledge of the truth, God's word, then we stay put. We don't budge on it. Like Eve did. She budged. She got tricked. She got deceived. There's an interesting section in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of the understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit, joying in beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, the right way of believing, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Those enticing words, or was that in verse 4? Yeah, enticing words. That means words that are persuasive that would lead you to error. God doesn't want us to get tricked. He doesn't want us to get beguiled. And that's why the knowledge of the truth is in God's word, so we don't get tricked. Ephesians chapter 4. What a loving Father to have given us so much information rather than, okay, get saved and hang on till Christ comes back. Good luck. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Now, that certainly can't be spiritually, because God's word tells us when we get born again, we are completely complete in him. We have all spiritual blessings. So this perfecting of the saints has to be in the category of the renewed mind. And so the gift ministries are to be involved in perfecting of the saints, giving them the knowledge of the truth, helping them to see who God made them, what God has given us, all these great things, that, especially in the seven church epistles, to the end that for the work of the ministry, it's not just the gift ministries that are to do the work of the ministry. We're all involved. We're all involved. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's not just the ministers that do the building up or the edifying, right? I mean, the manifestations of interpretation of tongues and prophecy are for what? The edifying of the body. We all operate those manifestations. So it's for the perfecting of the saints, for the purpose of, so all of us can do the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We read in a few minutes ago in Colossians where it says rooted and built up. The more of God's word, the more of the knowledge of the truth that we put into our hearts and minds, we won't be blown away with every wind of doctrine. Oh, really? Oh, that? Oh, I'm gonna, woo, woo. We're not to be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. See, we all work together. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. See, we're all part of doing the edifying. We build each other up. This I say, therefore, testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work out all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. Now, how in the world can we put on this new man if we're ignorant? Well, where do we get the information so that we won't be ignorant? Right. A right understanding of God's Word, getting a knowledge of the truth. And let me just show you this in Acts chapter 13. Because our adversary endeavors to keep people away from God's Word. Part of his devices. In Acts chapter 13, Paul traveling, and it says in Acts 13, verse 6, "And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus. And the Sergius Paulus, it says, was a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God." He wanted to hear God's word. But look what this dude did. "But Elymais the sorcerer," for so is his name by interpretation, "withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith." And that is exactly what our adversary, Satan, the devil, does. He wants to keep people from understanding the truth of God's word. It's the same today. He hasn't changed. You know, you ever see on TV or movies where they show Christians and they make them look foolish or stupid or even deranged? You know, people say, well, they heard from God. Oh, that's so crazy. You must be out of your mind. What? The Bible is full of people hearing from God. Three of the manifestations of the Spirit are receiving information from God, hearing from God by way of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And then I've even seen on TV at times or in a movie where they talk about somebody speaking in tongues. Oh, that guy was speaking in tongues. He must be. And see, where does that come from? That's the adversary to keep people from a knowledge of the truth of God's word. Wouldn't it be great if they had a show on where somebody said, yeah, I ran into this guy who was speaking in tongues, you know, magnifying God, speaking the wonderful works of God, someone who was praising God by way of the Spirit. You're not going to see that, right? The adversary wants to keep people away from the word of God, blinding the minds of them that believe not. And also, our enemy wants God's people ignorant of God's word, who they really are in Christ, what they really have according to God's word. He continues to promote exactly what he did in Genesis chapter 3. We're not going to read it, but I'm sure you remember. God told them, in the day you eat of it, thou shalt surely die. And what did the serpent tell Eve? You shall not surely die. The exact opposite. And then he went on to say, for God does know in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So what was the adversary promoting to her? God's word is absolutely not true. Can't trust it. God lies. And not only that, you don't need God anyway, because you can be your own gods. Yeah, you can do whatever you want to do. You can believe whatever you want to believe. Well, it sounds like today, doesn't it? Sure. If you wonder why the world continues to be more and more ungodly, the enemy's working very, very hard. Might remind you of a verse in Hosea. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. God says, my people, his own people, are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Well, is there knowledge available today? Yes, there is. Right here in the book. And that's why we make the time to keep our heads in the book, to read it, to understand it, and then live it. I want to close in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. The knowledge of the truth is available. God so lovingly made it available for us. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men, all women, who will have all to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God does not want his people destroyed for a lack of knowledge. He doesn't want our minds blinded. He doesn't want us deceived. He doesn't want us to be blown about with every wind of doctrine. He doesn't want our minds corrupted. God's desire is that everybody would get saved. Everybody would get born again. Not everybody does, but that's what God would desire. That's what he would desire for every person, to be born again. But not just born again. Verse 4 again, who will have all to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God does not want us ignorant, and that's why he so lovingly gave us his word. God not only desires that all people get saved, but also have a knowledge of the truth. And God's truth is readily available. So let's pray. Almighty God, our gracious, wonderful Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your grace, and your mercy. And thank you, Father, for giving us your word so that we need not be ignorant, so that we could have a knowledge of the truth, and that we could live that truth, that we could walk with and for you. Thank you for those who have labored in the past to bring us an accurate knowledge of the truth of your word. Pray this morning for Reverend Gear and his family. Ask you to bless them, keep them in health and strength. And Father, pray for all of the class presenters around the world who are presenting these classes so that we could continue to learn and grow in your word. I pray for Dave and Dana Standage out in Scottsdale and Marion. And I pray for everybody here today and those on the hookup. I pray for their physical health and strength and for all that they need that you would supply. And Father, we're just so grateful to know your word. And Father, we thank you for continuing to bless us with a knowledge of your word. And Father, give us those open doors that we could bring the light of the knowledge of the truth to other people. And I thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.